and welcome to Ultimate Voices Europe, the EUF's new diversity podcast, where we highlight backgrounds and perspectives that don't always get the spotlight. My name is Dunzi, my pronouns are they, them. I'm from Vienna.
And my name is Annika, my pronouns are she, her, and I'm in Zurich right now, I'm also from Zurich. We're both members of the EUF Diversity, Equity and Inclusion Committee, and in that role, we are hosting this podcast. We will be covering lots of different topics related to diversity, such as gender, queerness, ethnicity, age, and more.
And our guest today is a player and coach who has been in the ultimate scene for many years, and I'm sure he can tell us about how the sport has evolved regarding these topics. Welcome, Nasser Mbaye Fogo. Thank you for joining us today.
Nasser, would you mind telling us where you are from, where you're joining us from right now, what your plans are for the season, and just introduce yourself to everyone?
Yeah, so my name is Nasser. Everyone call me Nas. Mostly people call me Nas. I'm from Paris. Well, I grew up in I born in Marseille. Grew up most of my life in Paris and moved in Geneva when I was like 25, finished my studies. And since there, I'm still living close to Geneva. I'm living in the French side, so I have to cross the border every day to go to my office. So right now I'm talking from my office. Who's in Geneva, yeah.
Nice. Do you want to also like introduce yourself a little bit as like a Frisbee character as well?
Yeah, so from where I remember, I started to play Frisbee when I was like 14 maybe in high school with some friend. And I played almost 10 years, maybe 12 years with my hometown team from Paris. So it was like a city outside Paris, a very like small city. It's like a kind of like, I don't know, like in English, I would say a project area where like my family didn't have like a lot of money and stuff. So most of the immigrant people used to live there. So I started to play Frisbee with a couple of guys from my neighborhood, and we were in the same high school too. So we grew up together and we started to play Frisbee together.
Nice. And so I know since then you've come a long way in the Frisbee world. Maybe would you like to tell us what your plans are for this season specifically?
For the first time, like in my entire like Frisbee career, I have no plan for this season, like not a real plan. Usually there's something like European club season, going in US and stuff like that. But like, yeah. I'm not like young anymore. I'm still playing with a young player. So it's tough like to have like find like a good motivation like to join a program and start again and again. So I'm still doing like all the stuff like to gain shape. So because I never know like if like there is something like I would like to join, I will be ready to join the program. So mostly this year is more like coaching. So I'm coaching BFG, the open guy. And I'm also coaching the under 24 French mixed this season too. So it's more like a jump on my new career about like be a coach. So it's something like I was like not really into that before the last two seasons where I coached the Swiss team and the junior program is under 20, and I enjoyed that. So this year is more like I'm gonna play probably masters for the French team for the European, and also try to see if I play the beach awards in November. Like I'm still undecided if I want to play mixed or open. So I would love to play mixed because we are like a world champions. And so it would be nice to defend the title. But yeah, right now, I don't know yet. Yeah. So there is a lot of like maybe around this season. But coaching is asked me a lot. It's a very different project, so it keeps me busy, but I'm still like doing everything to get in shape and ready to play.
So kind of a transition phase from like playing and still wanting to play and playing, but also moving more into coaching, I guess.
Yeah, I was always carried about it. You know, at some point, like when you, I was like 14 years old when I started playing, and I'm still like loving it. I'm still love to learn Frisbee, new stuff, meet new people. I've been like so lucky to have a chance like to travel a lot in so many countries and meet a lot of players and meet new people. But at some point, like, you know, your body is not the same. Even like you push so hard like to get in shape.
Fair enough.
There's like, you know, some injury put you like, we need some time like to recovery. So I'm more like, you know, I still love the game as I was still playing, but I just need like to be to have like a real like project and not just like try to play everything, because like it's hard.
Fair enough.
Yeah, fair enough. So you said you started at 14. Can I ask you a personal question? How old are you now?
I'm turning 46 as it's summer.
Okay.
Yeah.
Wow. So over 30 years of playing, huh?
That's
longer than Annika and I are alive for.
Yeah.
Alive. True. And how do you think the ultimate community and the sport evolved in these like 32 years, you think?
I mean, like, I've been like in a position to be with a lot of players from different like country in my area, because like mostly like when we were like younger and we were like traveling in Europe to play Ultimate for some tournament, we never like meet white people. It was like black people. It was like mostly white people, like
mostly whites.
Yeah, white sport. And we were like every time super excited when we had the chance like to meet like guy from like Arabic background or black area or stuff like that, because we were like talk with them like just like, hey, we're not like alone. We're just like there's like people like us who are playing the same game. And it's funny because when I start to play in Paris, we have like two teams. We mostly play indoor. Like we never played before like grass. We were always playing indoor. And where they were like another team from another like side of Paris who had like the same background, like people from like some area like outside Paris, like the beauty of Paris, but mostly like outside. And they were like us, you know, we were like very close to them. Like we were like having like the same like language, because we were like we were speaking French, but we use like slang like to communicate with each other, like so it was like super nice to talk with them, like, and having the chance to hang out. It was like competitive against them, but always like with a nice spirit, and we were like very close and a little bit outside like the French community at the beginning.
And because now you talked a lot about the French community, and I'm sure when you started, that was the present sort of community that you were in. But now I feel like the nowadays the European Frisbee community is also very well connected. So whenever you go to a big tournament, you're not within the French community, but usually within the European community, right? I just, from your story, I'm wondering, was that not the case back then, or did that sort of develop over time?
I think it was like developing like over time. Like at the beginning, it was like, you know, like we are French, we were close to the Belgian people because, well, we were like using to speak the same language. Like mostly like in Belgium, we speak French too. So like for us, it was a little bit tough because like our English was pretty bad. So it was like tough to communicate with other like people or other country. So I think we were like very close to the French speaker and not of the rest. But now I would say like it's more open. Like I can see like the young people. Like, I went to some tournament in Spain last November, and I see a lot of French people there, like talking with like a lot of people. So I think it's more like open, like it was like for us, like at the beginning. Yeah.
And talking about nowadays, do you feel like the community is very different than back in the day, or is it similar? Sort of, can you tell us a bit about what changed in the past decades?
Yeah, I think it's a good question. I always say like it's bigger, so there's more like people get involved, try to make things like you guys try to make some stuff new to make sure like the community like can like see and understand like what's happened like in the Europe community. So we didn't have that in the past. So I think like it's nice to see new project, new program coming around and having the chance to be part of it. But for sure, like it was like, I would say different, like when I was younger, for sure. Yeah.
Thank you. You said you've seen the community evolve, like, and like there's some change in like these 30 years. Is there something that has changed in the way that you have been perceived by the Frisbee community as you kind of like got older into and like also more famous in a way, as a player, as a coach? Do you feel like, I don't know, with age more respected? Or
I mean, like it's always funny because like when you like with the social media, with the video, all the kind of stuff like we didn't have like when we was younger, people doesn't know you, but they recognize you because like you are playing on the game during like, say, they are filming, there are a lot of TV and stuff like that. And it's always funny when like you go to a tournament, like people look after you and they try to talk to you, but they're a bit shy. So I feel like always like, you know, I'm a normal guy. I just love the sport like you guys. So if you want to talk, just talk. I mean, like, I'm just a guy who loves the same sport. And I don't feel like because, like, my name is, like, in some place, I don't feel, like, different. I feel like, yeah, I'm still a player. And it's so nice, like, to talk with, like, with my passion for the sport with a lot of people. So I always feel like, yeah, you're welcome to talk to me. So... sometimes I feel like it's a little bit weird because like you feel like a star, but I'm not a star. I'm just like, you know, I'm just a guy who loves the same sport and just like try to be open with people for sure.
I think it's super interesting because you mentioned social media, and I mean, of course, that has just changed our whole society in many ways and also the sports world. And I think it's just a big thing. Also, like in the Frisbee community, I think it's connecting also in some way, right? Like the European Ultimate community, I think, is super well connected also through social media. But of course, it's also, like you said, it can be weird. It can be distracting, I think, in a way also when you play tournaments and there's like articles written about you or your team, right? Or people in the streams talk about you. So I think... that's something that probably changed a lot, right? From sort of both the social aspect of like who knows you and how connected are people, but also from a performance aspect. That's just a very different sort of world for a young athlete to perform in than back in your day, I imagine.
Yeah, I mean, like social media or every platform, like we give you a chance to talk. It's here. Like I feel like it's part like of the new generation, and I have to be like my job is to be like I'm a social worker, so I'm working with teenager, and I know the power of the social media. I try to be close on it, and I just try to not just say it's bad or it's good. I try like to make sure like the teenager who I work with understand like how you can use the social media for like on a good way. But yeah, it's it takes a lot of space around every generation right now, and I feel like I have to know how it works for sure.
Now you just mentioned that you work as a social worker. I'm just curious, does your work in any way play into your role maybe in Frisbee teams, or sort of do you feel that, because you work with teenagers, right? And I guess when you coach the under 20 team, that's kind of the same age group, for example, or also I think some players on that French mixed team that you've been playing with the last years are pretty young. So I was wondering, do you feel there's any kind of connection there?
Well, I feel like for the under 20, for sure, because like it's very close to my, I work with like people from like 15 to 25. So they are very close, like most like 15 to 20, most people I work for. And yeah, there's a, I'm not feel like old when I work with them. I feel like I understand what, I mean, like the barrier of language for sure, because the Swiss German, I understand a little bit, but I don't speak Swiss German. So the barrier of language, the word they use sometimes is like weird for me, but I'm very close to people. Like I love to be close to my players, like to make sure like they have the confidence to be on the field, to share the passion with the teammate. So it's more like, it's not like education, but it's just like a way like to enjoy the sport and be together for a tournament or a weekend, just like more like realize that the change, like they have to be together and play the sport like ultimate frisbee.
Do you, and I just kind of want to jump back to like the social media parts, because I like took a note and I was like, in social media, like one of the also really important things is like visibility and representation. And you mentioned before that like ultimate, I think still is, and at, probably at the time even more was a white sport predominantly. Is there like something that you wish was, I don't know, done better in like social media or like on the field? Like what, like, because if you see people of color, people like also like more women, I don't know, more just people that are maybe misrepresented. What's the word? Underrepresented. Yeah. Is there like anything that you, that comes to mind in this regard?
I don't think so. I feel like, you know, when you had the chance, like you play a tournament and you see like the black dude, it's funny, like, because like, it's something like I talk to my wife, because my wife is white. And like when I work in the street, whatever the country, like I had the chance to visit, you go, you act like you are not like a frisbee player. You visit the country, you enjoy like to be there. And it's funny because like every time when I see a black guy, we don't know each other, but we're going to make like a sign, hey, what's up? You know, we don't talk, but just like a high contact and just like something like, hey, what's up? And I go through my way and I would never meet him or whatever, but it's just like something like, it's like a reaction. Like when you see a black guy, you feel, ah, I'm not alone. So there's a black guy here. So I'm going to just say hello. But
yeah,
as a, I don't think like white people do the same thing too. So because maybe we are not like very representative in some country, when you have the chance to see a black guy, you're just going to say hello, just like by reaction. Yeah.
So that sense of connection, I assume, that is there. So just wondering, because of course, you already mentioned that when you were younger, that it was nice to see other black people playing frisbee and on the street now. So does that, maybe it's a tough question, but I wonder, does it also stand in the way of connecting with sort of white teammates? Or like, is it maybe, I just imagine that it might be a lonely feeling sometimes, sort of being surrounded by such a predominantly white community, but maybe that's wrong.
No, I never had this feeling, to be honest. Like, because I grew up like in an area where, you know, the term of like be racist never came to my mind until like I was like 18 or 20. Like, because like I was living in a place where like we were like black, Arabic, Jewish, like Asian, like we were like brother together. Like we never like thought about like the color or the race. So I was like always surprised to see kind of things when I start to understand like, oh, see, it's like maybe people were like talking about me because I'm black, but I never like had this feeling. And the same way, like in the frisbee too, I had like some situation like I felt alone and sometimes not safe also. But yeah, on the frisbee community, like never had this feeling. But when you travel in Europe on some tournament at some part, like,
of course,
yeah, it's can be weird and stuff and tough for us. Yeah, I would say.
Is there, do you think, because you mentioned like you grew up in such a diverse community and like frisbee is definitely less diverse. What do you think are the biggest barriers preventing more diversity in ultimate and more like black people and joining?
Yeah, I think it's like, it's super expensive, like, playing ultimate. Like when you see in the paper, like you just need cleats and a frisbee and the fields. But when you see the rest, like you have to travel, like to play fly tickets, play a tournament and all the stuff. Like it's hard. Like, I had a chance, like I go to the school, I got my studies and I have good work so I can travel, I can do whatever I want right now. But when I was younger, like we had help from the city to help us like to fund the money to go to some tournament. But for sure, like it's so expensive like to play ultimate. Like
I have a friend who studies sports in university, and there they learned that like ultimate frisbee is the sport that is like very easily like played with people that are refugees and stuff, because all you need is a field and a disc. And that is true, but I feel like as soon as you go into like some kind of higher level play, you need financial resources, and otherwise you cannot compete.
Yeah,
that's definitely like a huge barrier.
There is a program in my parents and from like islands of Comoros, so it's very close to Madagascar, islands of Mauritius. So I met one girl like several years ago. She discovered ultimate in Europe, and she started to do something in my country. Like she created like a club, but you know, like they need cleats, they need like frisbee. Sometimes like they need help, like because like they had the chance to go to Kenya to play a tournament there. But when you see that, like the price to pay the flight, accommodation, like it can stop like a lot of players like to make the move and play frisbee. So I try to help on my side, just like to make sure like some people can just have a chance to play some international tournament. I definitely would love to have like more country from Africa, Asia, or like some country like we never like had the chance to meet them, and I would love like it's like my one of my wish one day, like I will go to the tournament and have like a lot of country playing the tournament. Like
that would be nice. It just makes me think what you're telling about sort of, because now I think we're talking a lot about class, right? That sort of just, it's a matter of class, whether you can participate in high level ultimate generally. And that of course disproportionately affects people of color more than white people, like on average. And I'm just wondering about, because I think in ultimate we have this self-image of being a super progressive and open-minded, inclusive sort of world, which I think from a sense of character we are, more so than other sports. But then of course there are these structural issues that make the sport even less inclusive, I think, than other sports maybe. So I think that it's just interesting to think about that sometimes. And another thought that comes to mind is, I think that also makes it easy, or I sometimes experience that in ultimate, that people are like, oh, but we're already so far, so kind of
don't,
you know,
need to go
back
into any action
and not yeah, exactly. and not taking responsibility for things. Whereas in other sports, it's maybe so clear that it's not inclusive because of the culture and whatnot ever. That it's sometimes more, it seems more urgent to actually take action. So that just made me think, Nasser, because you had mentioned you had some sort of weird experiences as well while traveling throughout Europe and stuff. Yeah. I think it might be important sort of for our community as well to hear that racism, of course, is a thing outside of the ultimate world, but of course also within the ultimate world. If you mind, if you would be open to sharing those stories, I think it would be interesting.
Yeah, these are a couple of stories I have in mind. I think one was like I was invited to play in Russia to play in nationals. Mm-hmm. It was a couple of years ago, so I have a before like the war and stuff like that is coming around. I have a lot of friends from Russia, and I had a chance to go there and play a tournament. And I remember like I was in Geneva, and I went to the gate, and I was like the only black guy to the gate, and people like start to stop talking and just like look at me all the time.
Already in Geneva.
Yeah, in Geneva. So I was like a little bit scared to go in Moscow because I heard a lot of story like about like people, like black people get attacked in the street by like, you know, stupid people. So I was a little bit scared about it, but I was surrounded by a lot of like frisbee players with me all my time there. Mm. And I didn't feel it, but I was like, you know, aware about what's happened around me to make sure like nothing came by surprise. Mm-hmm. But yeah, it's crazy. Like we are like in 2025 and I have to think like, okay, I'm going to this country. Is going to be okay for me or for my family or something like that. So I think like sometimes like people like don't understand like or realize like, okay, we are going to some countries. There is no a lot of black or like different like diversity. So when you go, when you play the tournament, it's always fun. It was always nice. You meet people, you meet friends. It's great. But at some point, you have to go to the city, and in the city, could happen a lot of stuff. So, I have like some situation in I was in Poland for European clubs, and I was like, you know, in a big place where there is a lot of tourists there, and I was waiting my brother to go to the field, and for like 5 minutes, I was like in a place like just like waiting, and I had the feeling like someone was looking after me by like just like talking. They were like talking between each other, and I tried to stay calm, and but like you can feel like you can see like the they were like talking, even like I don't understand that, but they were like talking. I have like gesture like they were not super happy to see me there. And I one point like I take my phone and I I call my brother and say, "Where you are? I think I have to leave my place because I don't feel safe there. And can I meet you somewhere?" So I decide to leave because, like, I was like worried, like something could happen. But you know, when you talk, I have a lot of friends from Poland. I am like, it's not about the players, but it's just about like the fact they some people like they're not like ready to see stranger like or race at some point. And they try to act differently. But yeah, sometimes like I feel like my first reaction was like, why did he decide to put this tournament here? Like, why did he decide to put the tournament like in Poland? Like, they don't think about us. But I don't have the response about it, but it just like sometimes like stuff like that could happen.
So it's less like on the field, but more like the surroundings and everything around, like going to a tournament, the like off pitch, like or even off the premises experiences.
Oh yeah. There's like, you know, there's like we are playing in Italy. I'm coaching BFD. I love to go in Italy, but there's some place, sometime in Italy, being a black guy could be tough. Like, I remember I was with my friend. He's Canadian, originally like from India. We were late to go to the restaurant to see our teammate. So we show up to the restaurant, like they were like waiting us upstairs. And the moment we show up to the from the front door, like people were like 18 with family there. They were like a bunch of people like there. They stopped eating. They stopped eating and just like looked after us, like, you know, as a stranger. But like we were like, I was like, okay, we have to go somewhere maybe. Mm-hmm. But we decided to go there. The food was great anyway. But the feeling what like when you go to one place and people like stop doing what they are doing and just like look after you, like, yeah, it's it's shame. Yeah.
Aside from your brother, is there like anyone that you like share these experiences with, or like even like, you know, when you're around with white people, is there something maybe also like for us as a community we can learn, like when we are in such situations, on like how we can be allies or like support in a situation like that? Is there anything there needs to be
done? I don't think if I'm looking for like maybe like sharing the story, it's something like I'm fine with that. I'm more like, you know, when you cross a border and you're white people and you show up your passport, it's going to take like a second. Mm-hmm. I'm a black guy, depend on the country, even though like I'm a French citizen, I have an European passport, I can go anywhere without like any trouble. It's going to take like 2 minutes or 3 minutes to check everything on my passport. Yeah. And I just like feel like, all right, you know, okay, do your stuff. And thank you. But it's sometimes like it's not fair, but this is what, at one point, you know, I try to just enjoy the time with my friend and don't think too much about it, because like otherwise I would get like mad every time. But I believe like there's nice people doing this job and they are not thinking the same way. So yeah, you know, I don't try to put like someone in a box and just like they are doing the same thing for everyone. Just like, yeah.
Yeah, that makes sense. Thanks for sharing those stories. Sounds tough.
Yeah.
But anyway, I just had the thought that sort of having had to go through these experiences, it must be nice to sort of have the ultimate community or just Frisbee as a place where you can be and then just exist, and play ultimate, even though, of course, those things don't go away. I was just thinking, because I think not just ultimate, but I guess many sports are places where it's a bit more sort of common for sort of different people of different, I don't know, class, gender and race sort of meet on the field as equals, even though maybe society doesn't allow them to actually be equals in many ways. Not really a question here, I think, but just, I think it would be, sometimes I just have this thought of like, oh, sports is great in that sense that sort of these things you can blend, or I don't know if you can, but sort of, they don't exist right there on the field in the moment, but of course they're always present. And I think it's important also to be aware that, like you said, like getting there, getting to the field, being able to play there, that already implies so many steps sort of that people have to go through, and that, for example, people of color have to go through that others don't, that it's often easy to overlook, I think.
Yeah. Mm. Yeah. I mean, like, you know, like at some point, like when you travel, like for your sport you love, and you don't think like, oh, I have to go to the A to point B without something like, oh, it's gonna be, I'm gonna be in trouble on this direction, or do we have to be like together all the time? Mm. Can we like, it's sort of like question sometimes. Like I feel like I don't think too much about it, but sometimes I just feel like, okay, yeah, it's not your country, it's not the same rules, same stuff. So just be aware about what you're doing, where you're, yeah.
Yeah. Thank you.
Nice.
All right. I think we can go over to the next part because Nas, you also brought some questions to us, I think.
Yeah. Yeah. I was like wondering like why is there's no like corner of people like in your show with you, working with you. Because like you guys try to understand like the way like how we lived on the Frisbee community. And I was like wondering like why there is no like corner of people like on this project with you guys.
Yeah, I think I can start with that. I think it's a great question. And to be honest, I think already this interview is showing why there should be, because yes. It's just impossible for us to fully understand your experiences. I think the short answer is I had the idea of this podcast and then I talked to Annika about it and then we just started doing it. And
I think like when we started thinking about this podcast, we also weren't sure on like, how many, like on which topics we would exactly do it. Like it turned into this diversity podcast, but we are both mostly like working and also, I think like activism wise in like, gender and sports. We like, Dunzi works within like gender and sports, for Austria, for Austrian Federation, Sports Federation, I think, right?
Sort of, it's a club, yes.
And I work for the Office of Gender Equality and LGBTI Rights in Lucerne. And I think we wanted to take more of an intersectional approach and then like include more diversity. But I think like on how it started with like our maybe interests or like also our work fields.
Yeah.
And then we wanted to progress it. But yeah, you definitely... You're right. I think it's really tough to talk about different aspects of diversity if you only cover so much in your own lived experience.
Yeah, for sure. Doesn't make sense. Doesn't make sense for me. So yeah, I appreciate your response, and I appreciate also like the fact you are not like just focused about like race, but also about like gender and all the like. Topics could be like very good for ultimate like to understand and then listen to.
I think that's kind of like the goal of this podcast, to also invite people of like different aspects of diversity, and like we try to take an intersectional approach, meaning we don't just look at one aspect as of diversity, such as like in your example, even race on its own or age on its own, but how it overlaps with other aspects of identity. And intersectionality helps us understand that discrimination and people's life experiences aren't just one dimensional. And that's how we kind of like, wanted to expand this podcast into as many experiences as we can, even if we cannot, show them all in ourselves. That's why we kind of want to invite guests that cover as many aspects of diversity as we can invite.
Anyway, thanks for coming on and doing this despite
the fact. I mean like it's great. Like I feel like with the situation like around the world right now, it's not easy, like even like for like young people like to try to understand what's happened right now, even like, you know, there's so many communications, there's so many stuff like and it's tough sometimes like to find like the right answer. And I think like give the chance like to people like to express what they think about it, and it's very good.
That's all we're trying to do. Do you have another question for us?
One of my questions was like, about social media. I feel like it's the way like people like now everyone can have like an opinion and share about it. Sometimes like you feel like, why people decide to describe a situation they even like they never been there, but you just like go through to the image and it's something like, I remember, like, it was like, I think it was in Canada for the World Juniors, maybe, when the Belgium get banned for one, disqualified. Mm-hmm. Yeah. Mm-hmm. And I remember, like, people like asked me on social media about my thoughts about it.
Mm-hmm.
And I was like, I respond to the person, like, personally, like, I don't want to share anything by writing anything about it, because I feel like if I write something, people gonna try to understand on the way how they feel. Mm. And I ask him, like, if you want to talk about it with me, I would love to talk with him, like, maybe a video call or a video call or whatever. But I just feel like it's so easy, like, to take your phone and just, like, write something and just, like, send it. And yeah. And you don't know, like, how much damage you can cause, like, by saying, like, stuff. I don't say, like, people can't do that, but I just, like, feel like sometimes I'm just, for myself, I just need, like, more time to take my reflection and not just, like, respond because, like, oh, I don't feel like it's good and I'm gonna just say it. So, yeah, I feel like sometimes, like, for, like, it can be, like, crisis situation or even sport, like, people are going to comment about everything, like, like a frisbee. Sometimes, like, you open, like, the comment section and people mm-hmm. like try to say something, explain something, but they are not in the field, they don't understand, like, how much time people are, like, mm-hmm. how much time people, like, try to be there on the field and how enjoys this experience. And I feel like it's so easy, like, to just, like, say something and just, like, yeah, like, yeah. So sometimes I don't know how we can moderate that to make mm-hmm. sure, like, we don't have, like, stupid yeah. stuff coming around.
I think yeah. social media is definitely such a fast-paced place in the world that, like, that happens really quickly, that people react real quick and, like, the comment sections are blowing up. I think, like, in ultimate, one thing that, like, I try to remember, but, like, I don't, that's not something you can, like, force people to do, but because, like, there's the spirit of the game, and I hope that that spirit also carries on to, like, social media and comment sections where people sometimes maybe don't understand a situation or, like, what has happened on the field.
Yeah. It's like how you guys, like, manage that. Like, when I did, you have, like a story, like, sometime, like, you share something about it, and did you have, like, a bad reaction of people, like, in the community? And if you want to share, or how do you, like, manage that? Or even, like, if we, like, not focus on the black people, but on the gender stuff, like, did you have, like, any kind of reaction sometime on the field, and how you try to talk with people, or how you manage the situation? Yeah.
I think Jakob is the best expert here, because Jakob, they just started an Instagram account that, like, educates people on gender and sport. So maybe you want to go ahead.
Yeah. I mean, like I said, gender is, like, my area of expertise. So for sure in that, I mean, just with, like, transgender people in sports becoming such a big sort of issue, also with the recent executive order from Trump banning trans athletes in sports, right? So I think that's just sort of blown up, and there's a lot of just hate comments and stuff on that. And I think it's actually one of the reasons why I wanted to start this podcast, is that I mm-hmm. also started seeing that in Ultimate Frisbee highlight videos mm-hmm. of transgender athletes. Okay. So I think that was actually one of the reasons, because I feel like, I don't know if that's also just making bad excuses, but I feel like a lot of people just are not aware, like we said, also with race, sort of are not aware of the challenges that people have to face if they're being part of marginalized group, and that goes for people of color just as much as transgender people, and then sort of not with necessarily bad intentions, but still, I don't know, spread hate, misinformation, all these kind of things. And how I think the Ultimate community is sort of the perfect place where we can still reach people because we have spirit of the game. And that makes me assume that everybody here does have good intentions, even if they are not aware of issues. So I think this is a chance, but also, yes, Ultimate, as it's moving more into an online space, I think will also become more and more sort of part of bigger online discourses. And that I think includes hate speech, unfortunately. And of course, given how the platforms themselves are starting to reposition now with Trump's new presidency in America, for example, and for example, Meta's new regulations on free speech, I think it is fighting an uphill battle in terms of social media. We have to be aware of that.
Yeah, definitely. And for now, I think social media, like Jakob is using it, can also, like, it is tough and like there is loads of hate as well, but then like you can also turn it into something positive, like Jakob is with their account on like actually trying to educate people, because yeah, oftentimes it is so fast paced that people don't even have to like think, like you mentioned before, like they don't have to think of like a proper argument. You can just like put it out there and it goes so fast, and you also don't really see the consequences of what you say because you don't have an actual human being in front of you, but it's just a comment space. Mm-hmm. I think like hopefully we can, I don't know, still like do some educational work and like use it for the positives, as long as Instagram and all of these like tech broligarchs restrict us too much.
And I think, like you said, I think it's important to also not just leave those spaces because of the direction they're heading. Like, I think it's important to take space, and even though it's fighting an uphill battle, I think it's important to also try to keep your space.
As well. I think I'm like one of my very close friend, Alex Benedict. I don't know if you know her. She's educated me a lot about like all about like gender situation, and you know, sometimes like I don't feel like I realize it, and having like a people like someone like very close to you can just like try to explain some situation like you don't understand, and sometimes like you don't want to understand. It's always good. So for myself, like when I say like I love learning stuff, like even for frisbee or doing like in general, it's always good for me to have like someone like try to explain to me some stuff like sometimes I don't understand, and not try to judge me because I don't understand that, and just like try like okay, let's talk about it.
That literally just came to my mind when you were talking about like also wanting to learn and stuff, that it's also important that when we educate, we don't judge. Like, I think there is like, even if there is hate spewed, obviously like there is a hard line, but I think a lot of people don't maybe understand all aspects of, I don't know, whatever it is, race, gender, age. And I think to like go up to people with understanding and without judgment is so important. And I don't know, I have like an example from one of your posts, Jakob, where you like someone saying like trans people in sports aren't fair, and you're like, okay, let's look at those premises. Like, one, is sports even fair? And like, let's start there. And like, I think that's such a good way of like trying to reach people.
And it leads back to sort of, I think, the overarching theme of the podcast, that regardless of what diversity we're talking about, sports, like the rest of the world, aren't really fair, and people have to deal with different issues. But sort of just assuming, oh, because someone says we're all the same, we are all the same, but we actually aren't.
Yeah, it's nice. Like, my job right now, I have been like a social worker, like walking in the street for like so many, like for 15 years mostly, and I decided to change my job, like to have like cannot like normalize my job because like working in the weekend and during the nights or stuff. And I joined a new program here when we have like, we try to help like teenager to find like a new purpose in their life, like find an education or some stuff like that. And it's very open because like we have people like from different ethnicity, gender also. And it's new for me to see how like all this community like are working together because we try to make things together, like to incorporate like people with working all together for some project. And yeah, it changed my mind also, like even like I've been in social work for so many years, I'm still learning and get impressed about like how easy it is sometimes like to put different people together and can work together and create something great together. So yeah, I feel I'm lucky to have the chance to work on this kind of program for sure. Yeah,
beautiful. I feel like this is a good moment to kind of stay on a positive. Like it is so nice to work with so many people of different backgrounds and everything. And onto that, is there, in Ultimate, is there like specific people or initiatives or things that you like think are like, I don't know, a good practice or like role models to you or things that like leave you with a positive note or like positive thoughts? Regarding to like Ultimate and diversity and inclusion?
Just like be happy to play this game and just enjoy to meet new people. I feel like I say a lot of time, but I feel so lucky to have like people I can call like friend on Ultimate, like people like sometimes I didn't believe like we are become friends because like we were like rival on the field and now we're just like talking about going on vacation together. And like I say to the juniors program, like what I was coaching in the 20s, just like enjoy be together, like and feel like the experience, like to see different people. Do not go there like to be a champion because like we can't control about it. We can't control like, hey, tomorrow we're going to be a champion. But the only way, like something we can control is to be like, sure, we enjoy the time together and enjoy like living a great experience on Frisbee.
Yeah, I think that's a great message for everyone, regardless of what level you're playing at. Thank you for that.
Yeah. Thank you for the invitation for sure. I really appreciate that.
Yeah, thanks for coming on. I think on that note, thank you for all you shared with us and for being so open also about your experiences. It was nice talking to you. And yes, I'm very curious to see La Fota do with a new coach. And
It's going to be different for sure. It's going to be very different.
Yeah, I can imagine. both for them and for you, I imagine.
Yeah.
So I wish you good luck with that and also for everything else. And I'm sure I see you. We will see each other at one or the other tournament this year.
Yeah, for sure.
Yeah. And thank you, Nasser, also, for sharing your story, for also the critical questions and I'm excited to see where La Fota goes and where you go as a coach and also player, because I don't think you're completely. Thank you.
Thank you. Thank you very much. Yeah.
All right.
Okay. Thank you. Goodbye.
Thank you. Bye. Bye. Take care.
Bye-bye. Thank you for tuning in. This was Ultimate Voices Europe, the EUF Diversity Podcast by Jakob and Annika.